We're holding on Kuf Vav Amud Beis, the sixth line of the widest lines. We started learning yesterday about Doeg, the enemy of David. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, we said. It even brings in some places that he was the head of the Sanhedrin, but he had very bad midas. He was a Baal Lashon Hara and other problems. And we said that he got himself kicked out of Gan Eden for the way that he acted. And we talked about that David was asking that he should be kicked out of there and he shouldn't be readmitted. Although, as we learned previously, on Daf Kofei, Hashem says that according to one opinion, according to the Derush HaRishumas, that Hashem says, fine, I'm going to broker a deal between them so that David will be willing to allow Doeg to come into Olam Haba. So we learned yesterday, we said that Doeg was Sofer Shokel and Sofer Samigdalim. We said he knew how to count all the individual letters in the Torah to know where all the Chaseiros and Yiseiros are. He knew how to weigh all the Kalvachomers to know which Kalvachomers are valid and which not, and to derive halachas from them. And he knew how to count the towers, which means we said he knew a bunch of halachas about a migdal, a pereach ba'aver, where we, as we talked about yesterday, Rashi gives over here four different explanations what migdal, a pereach ba'aver is. It means the top of the lamed. It means a case involving a moving vehicle and a person is inside it as far as Tum of Atara. It means as far as Kishuf. It means as far as another din in Hilchos Tum of Atara about a closet in the outdoors and when Tumah spreads from it and when not. Elsewhere, actually, I forgot to mention yesterday, elsewhere Rashi gives another explanation. It means he knew 300 halachas about Migdal Bovel. Whatever the case, so we said that he knew a lot. So now, continuing on that topic, the Gemara says, Omer Rebbe, and on the side here it says it should be Omer Reb Abi, Ara Meir Boi Bo Doeg Rachitofel, the Migdal Aperech Ba'aver. Doeg and Achitofel, who we're going to talk about next, that Achitofel was David's advisor, and then later on he joined Avshalom's revolt, and eventually, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, he eventually committed suicide. Anyways, Doeg and Achitofel asked 400 questions about Migdal HaPereach Ba'aver. However, we understand that according to any of these explanations, and they weren't able to answer a single one of them. So they had very good questions, but they were complicated questions, and they didn't know the answers. Omar Rava, but Rava says, so what's the big deal about that? Rabusa Lamivid Boy, is it a big deal to ask questions? A great question, as they say, you know, it's a Shailas Chocham Hatzi Tshuva, a wise person asks a question, and it's already half the answer, but still, I'll tell you about when it comes to asking questions versus actually learning and understanding the material. And by the way, Daniel Hoyada points out that, Rabbi Ami doesn't ask what he means to say, basically, is he is stressing the point that they were enmeshed in Kirchas HaTumah, and then after all, as we learn in Tanya, ultimately from the Zohar, that questions come with Sitra Dada, because a question means you don't understand something, so it means that particular detail of Torah is still stuck in the Klippus, and then when you have the answer, then it frees it from the Klippus. So yeah, the fact that he's saying that they had a lot of questions and couldn't come up with answers indicates that they didn't have the level of Kedusha necessary to be able to come to the answers. Nevertheless, Rava is saying, now let me explain to you from a different point of view that questions are not the important thing. The important thing is the Ava and Yira that goes in a person learning and doing mitzvahs. So he says, Vishneid Rabbi Yehuda, in Rabbi Yehuda's times, Kula Tanuya Ben Nizikin, all of their learning, or the focus of their learning, was in Nizikin. Now, Nizikin actually can have two meanings. It can mean the entire Seder Nizikin, or it can mean the three Bobbers, which are also called Nizikin. So Rashi over here says Seder Nizikin. There are other places where Rashi explains that it means the three Bobbers. Not to say that they didn't learn the rest of the Torah, but they weren't, Rashi says, they weren't darshaning so much and they weren't delving into and explaining so much in other areas of Torah in Rabbi Yehuda's times. Vanan Kamasnin and Tova Uktin. As far as us, though, meanwhile, we learn a lot, even in Masechta Uktin, which is the last Masechta of Seder Taris, and deals with issues involving stalks and stems of fruits and vegetables and things like that. And so far as Tumah V'Tahara, it's like a very obscure area of halacha. So not only we learn thoroughly the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara, but even like the little details like that you might overlook. And the Chav Matir of Yehuda, Isha Shekeveshes Yerek V'Kdeira, when Rabbi Yehuda would come across a Mishnah, also from Seder Taris, in connection with details of Uktzin, although this particular Mishnah that he's going to quote, the first one that he's going to quote is actually from Masechta Taris. Anyway, Isha Shekezeshes Yerek Bekdeira, you have a case of a woman who's pickling vegetables in a pot, and you have certain dinim over there about that they're not makabel tumah through their stems, because you don't really want the stems on it at that point. You only leave the stem when you're pickling fruits or vegetables, and they have stems attached to them. Normally, the point is the stem is able to transmit tumah to the food because the stem is useful. You can pick up the food with it.
Yep.
What it's called a yad, yeah. But when the whole thing is being pickled, then the stem is not really useful as a yad anyway. So then the yad is not makabel tumah. The Amula, or others say that he would learn the Mishnah Zaysim Shakovshan Batarpehin Tahurin, a Mishnah which is in fact in Masechta Uktzin about a case with the olives that were pickled together with their leaves, and that the leaves are not makabel tumah for the same reason. So, because again, the leaves are left on there only to make it look nice. So when Rabbi Yehuda would learn those Mishnayos, Omar, he would say, Havayas de Rav or Shmuel, Kachazina Hach. I see over here the discussions of Rav and Shmuel, who were Rabbi Yehuda's Rebbeim. In other words, he's saying these look like very complicated topics, and we could be discussing them in depth, like the way Rav and Shmuel would discuss topics in Torah. So in other words, he found those areas hard and unfamiliar to follow. These concepts that are represented in these Mishnayos, he considered very complicated. But Rava says, meanwhile, we in our times, says Rava, we learn Uktzin in 13 Masivtas. So they had 13 different yeshivas that were all learning and then being involved in Masechta Uktzin and knowing it and knowing the principles behind it very well. Different explanation of 13 masivtas is that we know 13 different ways of explaining those Mishnayos. Whatever the case, the point is, when it comes to raw Torah learning, in other words, we're on a much greater level than Rabbi Yehuda, where he has questions on those Mishnayos and he can't understand them, says Rava, but we in the next generation, we know them very well. But yet, Rabbi Yehuda sholef v'sonei, yet when it came to when there was a famine and they were going to be davening for rain, and Rabbi Yehuda would just take off his shoe, v'osa mitra, and rain would immediately start falling before he even has to take off his shoes and start fasting, Hashem would answer his tefillas right away. V'anan, meanwhile, says Rava, we cry out to Hashem, v'leka to mashkachban, and nobody's paying attention to us because we don't have the schosim. So we see that just Torah learning is not itself. Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liba Boy, Hashem wants the heart. Hashem wants that a person should put his heart, his Ava V'Yira, into learning. And in Rabbi Yehuda's times, they had that, and in Rava's times, they had less of that. The pasuk says, Hashem Yira LaLevav, Hashem looks towards the heart. So therefore, in other words, Rav Ami, you're telling us that Doeg and Achitofel knew 400 questions as far as Migdal HaPereach Ba'aver. Very nice, but you should realize that just knowing questions in Torah is not really where it's at. The fact is, you need heart, you need motivation, you need Ava V'Yira towards Hashem, and Doeg and Achitofel lack that. Okay. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Shmuel, Doeg v'Achitofel loy havu savri shmaita. Doeg and Achitofel did not know the teachings of Torah thoroughly. They did not know how to explain the reasons and the logic of their learning very well. mask for Mazutra, but Mazutra asks on that, what do you mean? We said before, Ayah Sofer, Ayah Shotel, Ayah Sofer, Asamigdolim. They're the ones of who the Pasuk says, as we said before, where's the counter, where they know every detail of Torah, where's the Shotel, where they know every detail of Kavachomers, Ayah Sofer, Asamigdolim, and they know all those halachas and Migdol Aperech, Ba'aver, Ba'at Amitle, Havus Savush Shmaita. You're saying they didn't understand how to learn? Ella, no. What he means is, do I have a sauchel who shmaita a libidehilsa? They did not have the ability to be able to discuss the point and say what the proper halacha is and have the halacha be established like them. Because to do that kind of thing, to be able to know and be able to figure, to be able to know what the halacha is, for that you need siyata d'shmaya. The Gemara actually mentions elsewhere that that's something particularly fine in the Shvatim of Levi and of Levi and Yisachar. Of Levi and Yehuda, I think actually it says, that they have that special ability, La'asuki Shmaita, Libidi Hilchasa, Achitofo in particular was from Shevet Yehuda, but nevertheless they didn't have that, that special ability, because Dichtiv Soda Hashem Lireyav, as the Pasuk says, the secret of Hashem is to those who fear Him. The secret of Hashem, meaning the ability to La'asuki Shmaita, Libidi Hilchasa, to not only be able to discuss Torah, but to come out with a correct conclusion that fits with the Ratzon Elyon, that a person needs Siyata Dishmaya, that person needs help from Hashem for that he needs Yira, he needs Ava and Yira, and they didn't have that, so therefore they didn't have that ability. So they could be discussing Torah, but their conclusions are not necessarily halachically correct.
It was just academic learning, essentially.
So it's academic type learning, right, as opposed to learning that expresses the Ratzon of the Eivishter, yeah. So elsewhere, the Gemara mentions, for example, that between Shaul and David, actually we had it earlier in the parak, that David had that ability as well. Shaul did not, which is one reason why Shaul was jealous of David. So yeah, it's a special thing. The famous story told about the Noda Yehuda, that when he first becomes Rav of Prague, there were people who didn't like the idea that he had been appointed, and they tried to discredit him. So they brought him they made up a complicated case in Halacha and brought it to him for his psak. And he looks into it, and he comes up with an answer, and then they pull out, and they say, look, here it says in the Sefer, the opposite, and you don't know what you're talking about. And the Rav explains to them, if it was an actual question that actually happened in practical halacha, then I would have had the siyata d'shmaya to know it. Like we're saying over here, you're asking a theoretical question, so I didn't have that special siyata d'shmaya. All right. The Gemara continues. Amr of Ami, Loy Mes Doyeg Acha Shachach Tamudai. Doyeg did not die before he forgot his learning. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Hu Yomus Ve'en Musar, he dies without Musar, without chastisement that reconnects him to Hashem, over Roiv Ivalta Yishke, and with his great foolishness, he goes wrong. So in other words, the Musa refers to the Torah, like Shema Bini Musa Ravicha. So he died without Musa, and he became foolish, and the point is, in other words, that way, the schus of his Torah did not protect him. Nitzara. Not only that, he became a mitzora. Shenema, the Pasuk says, he smata kol zoyna mimeka, you have cut off anyone who strays from you. And how does itzmata come to mean tzadas? Ksiv hasam latzmisus. When it comes to selling land in Eretz Yisrael, where the Torah says you're not allowed to sell it permanently because it has to go back in Yovel, the word is latzmisus, same shodash as itzmata. Umetagamin and lachalutin. Targum Onkelos translates the word latzmisus as lachalutin or tznan, and we have that same shodash cholat cheslam and tes being used in connection with tzadas. Ein bein muskur umuchlat. There's no difference between a mitzora muskur, one who's in quarantine for a week or two until we find what happens with the symptoms of tzaras, and a mukhlat, a person who's been definitively decided that he has tzaras and he has to go mechutz lamachna and all that. The only difference is ala prio prima. The mitzvah mukhlat has to tear his clothes, and he has to let his hair grow long, and he has to tear his clothes. The mitzvah muskur does not. So we see that the mukhlat, the word being used for confirmed mitzvah is mukhlat, same shirtish as chalutin. So therefore, he tzmata kol zonim imekra, where again the meaning of the Shodash Tzadik Mem Tzof, to cut off, is Lachalotin, so therefore that hints that David is saying in that Tepetl Tillim, that Doeg was given Saras because he strayed from Hashem. because he didn't focus on Hashem. And again, he's learning Torah more academically rather than as Chochmas Ratzon Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the result was that he got Tzaras. So the Gemara continues, Simen Shloisha Rov Chetzi V'Karu. These are the next few teachings that the Gemara is going to tell us about Doyeg. First of all, Omer Rav Yochanan, Shloisha Malachei Chabola Nizdamnu Lo L'Doyeg. Three destructive Malachim came and encountered Doyeg when it was his time to go. Echad Sheshikach Tamudai, one of them made him forget his learning. The Echad Shesoraf Nishmosai, the second one burnt his Neshama. And it had to be in that order, by the way. Teres Chaim points out, if not for that, the schus of his Torah would have protected him, so therefore it had to first be that he forgot his learning. Then the second one burnt his neshama. The echach pizer efrei aforei rather bevotif nesias bevotim medrashes. The third one scattered the dust, the ashes from him in the shuls or in the botim medrash, and in the shuls and in the botim medrash. And by the way, it talks about the idea that that itself is part of his kapara. When we learned before on Daf Kofei, you had the opinion of the Doshir Rishumas who said that kulan borim la olam haba, that all of them eventually come to olam haba, including Doyeg, even though we said David is dead set against the idea. Hashem says, I'll convince David. One point is the fact that the fact that his ashes are scattered in the Batei Medrash, meaning therefore the Chachamim are stepping on them, so to speak, they become higher through them. In other words, you step on something, you become higher. So it represents, in other words, that the Chachamim are able to take a lesson from him, not to be like him, and that itself helps his neshama.
No problem with tumah.
Ashes on it. First of all, not necessarily do we mean gashmistic ashes, but even if we do, no, ashes from a dead body are not metame, unless you have like an entire body together or something. Yeah.
Or Aver, could be Aver.
Besides, what we're saying over here is neshama was burnt, and we're obviously not talking about physical ashes anyway. So the Medrash, when it tells it in a little more detail, that he starts forgetting his learning. He's teaching in the Beis Medrash, and he starts at one point mixing up halachas and saying about something that should be Tomei, that it's Tahor, and vice versa, and his Talmidim are getting more and more upset about it. You know, obviously our Rebbe is going senile or something, and they finally have to schlep him out of the Beis Medrash, because otherwise he's misleading them and then teaching them wrong things in Torah, and at that point the rest of these things happen.
That was Dove's request, that he should not forget his learning earlier.
We learned that yesterday, yes. And now this is how it actually came true, yeah. V'omer Rav Yochanan, also Rav Yochanan says, Doyeg v'Achitofel lo roh zeh zeh. Doyeg and Achitofel didn't see one another, even though we often talk about them together. In fact, they lived at different times. Doyeg v'mei shol v'Achitofel v'mei David. One was in Shaul's times, the other was in David's times. Now the point is, since the Gemara, we learned at the top of the Amud that Anshe Domu Mimim LaYach Tzimeim, and that includes Doyeg and Achitofel. The Gemara is going to point out later on that they lived to be only 33 or 34 years old. So now David was king for 40 years. Avshalom's revolt broke out a few years before David passed away, about 4 or 5 years before David passed away. And Achitofel was a central figure there. Now, he died at age 33. That means he was born a few years into David's kingship. And David's kingship began only after Shaul had been killed in battle. So therefore, we see that, meanwhile Doeg was around in Shaul's times. Again, he lived to be only 34 years old. And in fact, at the beginning of Shmuel Beis, you have the person who comes to tell David that Shaul is dead and that I finished him off and here's his crown, etc. And then David has him put to death. Rashi actually brings over there that some say that it's Doeg, although Rashi says I don't really like that explanation. Some say it was a son of Doeg. Whatever the case, Doeg is long since out of the picture by the time it comes to the end of David's reign, because if he lived only 34 years, then it means, and he was already an adult in Shaul's times, that means even if he wasn't that person at the beginning of Shmuel Beis, he at least passed away not long after that. So they never saw each other. And one point of it is, Marsha and Ben Yehoyada make the point, the Gemara wants to tell us with that, that it's a good, Hashem arranged that David's two chief enemies shouldn't live at the same time, because then he might not be able to withstand both of them, but when it's one at a time, then he can manage. The Gemara continues, V'omer Rav Yochanan, yeah, Doeg v'Achitofel lechotzu yameim. Doeg and Achitofel did not live out even half their lives, as we learned at the top of the Amud, Anshe Domu Mimim Leyachti Yameim. Half a person's normal life would be 35 years out of 70, and then here they lived less than that. Tani Nami Hochi, we learn similarly in a Braisa, Anshe Domu Mimim Leyachti Yameim, men of blood and trickery will not live out half their lives. called Shnoisav Shal Doyeg, Lohoyu Elash Shloshim V'Arba. Doyeg lived only to 34 years old, Bishar Achitofel, and in Elash Shloshim V'Sholish. As far as Achitofel, he lived to only 33. Why 1 year less? The Yad Ramah points out, since the Pasuk says, as we talked about it, that Achitofel committed suicide. He went and strangled himself after his advice of how to defeat David in battle and kill him was rejected, and he realized that Avshalom's revolt is going to fail and he's going to be in trouble. And the Pasuk says that he went and strangled himself, so therefore he lost one year of his life. Had he not done that, he would have lived one more year and he would have lived to 34. With Bilam also, that we learned yesterday, since he was killed in battle, then he died at age 33. Had he not been, then he would have lived one more year to 34. The Amar Rabbi Yechanan, and further Rabbi Yechanan says, "B'tchila kara David l'Achitofel Rebbe." Originally, David calls Achitofel his rabbi, rather. He originally calls him his Rebbe. Later on, as David became greater in Torah, kroy chaveroi. And then he called him his colleague. Although the first called it Talmidoi, and still later he calls him my Talmud, because David became so much tremendously greater in knowledge of Torah that he now becomes his former Rebbe's, his former Rebbe, now he becomes his Rebbe. As the pasuk says, "V'ata enish ke'erki," you're a man like me. This is in Kapitel Nunhei, where David is talking about his enemies and particularly about Achitofel, how they betrayed him. You're a man of like me. Alufi, you're my teacher. Alufi is another word for teacher. Umyudoi, and my well-known one. We have the famous thing in Pirkei Avos that Achitofel taught him two halachas. All of a sudden, Kroy Chaveroi, Shenema, because the next pasuk continues, Asher Yacht of Namtiksoid, together we would discuss sweet secrets of Torah, Bevesa Lekim Nahalach Berogesh, we would walk to the house of Hashem with a tumult, in a noisy way, in a public way. So we see that now it's Yacht of, now they're walking together, unlike if it had been Rebbe and Talmud, then one walks in front of the other. In fact, this thing, the Reis of the Kim Nalach Beragish, is one of the things that Achitofel taught him, that when you go into shul or to the Beis Mikdash, you should be running rather than walking. Actually, both things that he taught him are in this pasuk. Asher Yachdav Namtik Soid, that it's better to learn Torah together rather than alone, and Beis Elikim Nalach Beragish, that when you go into shul or Beis Medrash or the Beis Mikdash, you have to run. Anyway, what we see, Asher Yachdav, the Beis Elikim Nehalach, we would go together, implying that they're on equal levels. Still later, David calls Achitofel his Talmud, Shenemar, Gam Ish Shloimi Asher Batachti Voi, even the person who's at peace with me, in whom I trusted, Oichel Lachmi, who eats my bread, which is a metaphor for he learns the Torah that I teach him, Higdil Olai Akiv, he lifted up his heel against me and is trying to crush me. So Achitofel is referred to as Ish Shloimi over here. Maharsha points out that Bathsheba was Achitofel's granddaughter, so therefore you would expect very much Achitofel to be at peace with David. His daughter was the queen, and yet, his granddaughter, is the queen, and yet he lifted up his heel against David and is trying to crush him. But we see the fact that he calls him Uichel Lachmi, the one who eats my bread, implies that he became David's Talmud. By the way, this that he was Bathsheba's grandfather, or the Malbim actually explains, that may be why Achitofel turned against him. You have the whole affair with Bathsheba, which now we're going to start talking about over here on the Amud. And even though, fine, she ended up marrying David and they had a child together and everything, still, the whole scandalous way in which it happened may have caused Achitofel to say to himself, you know, what do I need to be a friend with somebody like David anymore if he's going to act like that? Okay, so now actually let's talk about that whole story of Bathsheba, which, by the way, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that Achitofel, so first of all, we're saying over here that Achitofel the Gemara is going to mention over here that people were making fun of David for it and then mocking him and telling him elsewhere the Gemara mentions that people were mocking him and telling him that, you know, a person who's Mizana with an Ashes Ish, David, so tell us what kind of punishment does such a person get. So that's why the Gemara is bringing this in. Having talked about Doeg and Achitofel, then the Gemara is talking about this kind of thing that they were harassing him over. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, La'olam al yovi adam atzmi lidei nisoyin. A person should never bring himself to nisoyin, to being tested by Hashem. Sha'arei David, Melech Yisrael, hevi atzmi lidei nisoyin. Because David brought himself to nisoyin, v'nichshol, and he stumbled. what happens? Omer Lefonav, Ribbono Shel Olam, David says to Hashem, Mipnei Ma Omrim Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. In davening, we say, though we call Hashem the God of Avraham, of Yitzchak, and of Yaakov, Ve'enemim Elokei David. But we don't say, in davening, Elokei David. The answer would be, okay, David's still alive, and in general, Hashem doesn't attach Hashem, his name to Tzaddikim when they're alive, because Al-Tamin Ba'atzmacha Ad-Yoy Moscha, you never know that Tzaddik might end up being like Yochanan Kohen Gadol. But no, David knows, the Ruach HaKodesh, that even after he passes away, we're not going to say, like, hey, David. There is actually a place in Tanakh where it uses the phrase, like, hey, David, but we don't use it in davening. And Ben Yehoyada adds the point. You know, we know that you have the four legs of the Merkava, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the first three. David representing Malchus is the fourth. So therefore, he should be able to have that we say in davening of a K. David.
Davening, we say Berog is a.
We say Berog is Rachem Tizker, Berog is Avat Tizker.
Last one, how is
Berog is Tzmimis Tizker? Yeah, that refers to David. Fine, but that's not mentioning Hashem's name in that connection. Yeah. So why don't we say Elokei David? Omar Sashem answers, Inhu Minsuli, I tested, Va'atle Minsuli, I've never tested you. Omar Lefonov, so David says, fine, Ribbono Shel Olam, Bachaneni V'naseni. Well then, test me and try me. Shenema, as the Pasuk said, Bachaneni Hashem V'naseni, test me Hashem and try me, V'gomer. And then I'll pass that test, and then I'll be there, and then we can say Elokei David. Omar, Sashem tells him, "Min fine, I'll test you." I'll give you a special break. I'll give you almost like a hint for the test. For the others, I never told them in advance what their test is going to be. I'm going to inform you in advance. I'm going to give you a little cheat sheet that you can use for your test. I'm going to inform you. I'm going to test you regarding something involving Arias. Miyad, so then right away, what happened after that? The pasuk says, Vayila Esa Erev, that evening, Vayokum David Ma'al Mishkova, David got up from bed, Vagomer, and he went on the roof, and he saw Bathsheba. Now, what's he doing sleeping so late in the day that he's only waking up towards the evening? Omer of Yehud, and then in fact, elsewhere, the Gemara says that David slept very little, he would spend the whole night learning Torah, etc. So what's he doing over here now? All of a sudden, waking up towards the evening. So Omer of Yehuda, Shahotach Mishkava Shalaila Mishkava Shoyon. What happened was that David turned around his bed of the night to the bed of the day, meaning when he's going to have relations with his wives is usually going to be by night. Here instead, he had by day. So then afterwards, he's sleeping, and then he woke up later in the day. Why? Because he figures that because he figures if I know that I'm going to have a nisoyan in a matter involving tashmish, so let me I've already satisfied myself, and then therefore I won't have such a taiva for it. So he figured this way to weaken that taiva. The problem was that it's almin menor halacha zu. However, David forgot the following halacha, the following well-known fact: eva katan yesh ba'adam. A person has a small organ within his body, referring to the male organ. Masbiyoi, if he satisfies it, roiv, then he feels hungry and he wants more. Marivoi, but if he starves it, and denies himself tashmish, saveya, then he feels full. So here he overindulged it. So here he overindulged himself in Tashmish, and that just strengthened his Yetzirah, so that now when he saw Bathsheba, he had more of a taiva for her. So what happens? The pasuk continues. By his halach al gag beis hamelach, he was walking on the roof of the palace. Vayar isha rechetzes me'al agog. He saw from on top of the roof. He saw a woman washing herself. Vo isha tovas ma'ara ma'od, and the woman is very beautiful. How comes it that he sees her washing? Isn't she doing that in a private place? So Bathsheba have a kochay for reisha tusi chalta. Bathsheba was washing her hair under a beehive. Kaveres can mean an actual beehive, but often in Shas it means a large basket that can be used as a beehive that you can bring the bees in there and they'll start making honey in there. But she was hidden from view by this large basket. The Yad Ramah is a different gear. It's a kilsa, which means like a large awning. Anyway, so she's under that, so it should be Knesset. Also Sutton, but then the Sutton came, Idmi Lekitsi Parita, and he appeared to David like a bird. One point is Ben Yehoyada is that we find that we find, for example, that that birds are used to be Matsoda, and in fact Tzipora, the wife of Moshe, is so called because she helped clean up the Avodah Zarah from Yisrael that he had given up. She helped completely clean that family up. So the same way David is David went through this whole thing and eventually he did Tshuva and taught the whole world the tremendous power of Tshuva, and therefore the whole thing was triggered by a bird in token of that. By the way, you have the Ababonel on the Psukim, by the way, judges David very harshly and says, really, you know, like this, we always say, Koloima David Chota Eina Elotoya, and she was divorced and so on and so forth. The Ababonel won't have any of that. And he says, no, the bottom line is it was a serious Isser of Znus with an Eishes Ish. But what it is David did such complete, wholehearted Tshuva that Hashem forgave him and allowed him to continue ruling and so on and so forth. The Malbim has a bunch of questions on the Ababonel, and he explains that, no, we have to not only we have to accept what Chazal tell us, but more to the point, we can actually see it hinted at in the Psukim, the various details about that she really was divorced, whether without restrictions, or whether Rashi and Tosfos elsewhere discussed was the get given al tanai, or was it an unconditional get, whatever the case. We can see that actually from the Psukim, and we can see a bunch of other details. We can say, he says, for example, that David should have been leading the army. At that time, they were fighting against Ammon, it says in the Psukim, and David should have been there, and Ammon helping to lead the army, and instead he's living comfortably back in Yerushalayim, and going for a stroll on the roof. So fine, in that sense, Aveira Gerera Saveira, but not to the extent of that it was actual Znus with an Eishes Ish. So the Sutton came and appeared in front of David like a bird. Pasek Begira, so David shot an arrow at the bird. Instead, Paskilachalta, the arrow hit the basket or the awning or whatever, and pierced it. Igalia, so now she was revealed. Now he could see her. Vachazia, and so David saw her. Miyad, so now the psukim continue. Vayishlach David vayidrish leisha. David sent messengers to ask about the woman. In particular, he wants to find out if she's an Eishes Ish or not. Vayomer, and he says, Haloi zos Bathsheba bas Eliam, Eishes Uriachiti. Isn't this Bathsheba bas Eliam, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriachiti? Which one point is, actually, one point of him finding that out is that, therefore, that tells him that, yes, on the one hand, she has been an Eishes Ish, she was married to Uriah, but on the other hand, he knows Uriah as one of his top soldiers, therefore he knows that the rule was followed, that he had given her a get before he left for battle. So the pasuk continues by Yishlach David Malachim. So David sent messengers by Yikochea Vatova Elav. He brought her to the palace and she came to him. By Yishgav Ima, he had relations with her. Vehi Miskadeshes Mitumasa. She had just become Tohar from her Tumah. That's why she was washing her hair in preparation for going to the mikveh. So by the time she came to David, she had already gone to the mikveh and she's not Tumah with Tumas Nida. Vatosha Vabesa, and then she returned home. So it all started with David seeing her from the roof and then bringing her to the palace. But it all started also, we're saying, with this bird, this the Sutton being in the shape of a bird coming and then everything triggered from that. Behind Udichtiv, thus the pasuk says, David says until him, Bachanta Libi, you tested my heart. Pakadta Lila, you mentioned it. You made it happen. You made it happen. You commanded me whether I'll be able to withstand the Nisayan in a matter involving Lila, in a matter involving Tashmish, which usually takes place at night. Tzraftani, you purified me, you thought to purify me, Baltimsa, but you couldn't find, because in fact I wasn't pure, I didn't pass the test. Zamoisi, Balyavapi, Zamoisi, which the Gemara is going to explain in a second, should not pass my lips. So what does that mean? The simple meaning of Zamoisi means my thoughts, my plot, my plans, whatever. But Omar, David saying, equal, if only Zmama Nafal Vapume, if only there had been rains, a bit in the hand, into the mouth, the manda sonny li of my enemy, meaning of myself, so that he wouldn't have said such a thing. In other words, David saying, if only there had been something to prevent me from speaking in the first place and telling Hashem I want to be tested, because in fact I fell through and I didn't pass the test. That's Zamoisi, that I wish I had been muzzled, Valyavapi, that it shouldn't pass my lips, the request to Hashem to be tested, because in fact I didn't pass it. So the Gemara continues, Dorash Rava, my dichtiv, another pasuk on this, Lam Natseach LeDavid, Bashem Chasisi, David says, I trust in Hashem. Eich tomer l'nafshi nudi harchem tzipor. How can you tell my soul, how can you tell me your a bird made your mountain fly away? Which means, Amar David, lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, mechol li al oisa oven, forgive me for that aveira of Bat Sheva, shelo yomru, so that people shouldn't say, how shebachem, the mountain, the great tzaddik among you, tzipor nedadtoi, a bird caused him to go astray, as we just had, that the sudden came to him in the form of a bird. So he doesn't want that. He doesn't want that it should cause a chilul Hashem for all time. So therefore, he's asking Hashem to forgive the aveira completely. Why is he comparing himself to a mountain? Ben Yehoyada points out, we said before, he wanted to compare himself to the others, who in many places are analogized to mountains. So therefore, he uses that same phrase. The Gemara continues, Dorash Rava, my dichtiv, here's another pasuk in Kapitel Nun Aleph, which is all about Kasha Boel Bas Shava, and David is pleading with Hashem to forgive him. He says, L'chol avad chochotasi, to you alone I've sinned. And I did what was evil in your eyes, Laman titzak b'davracha, so that you should be justified in your words, tizke, you should, so to speak, win b'shavtecha, when you're judging. What does that last phrase mean? Omer David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, galya v'yadia kamach, you know full well, that I, if I had wanted, if I had put in the effort to controlling my Yetzirah, have a Kayifna, I could in fact have controlled my Yetzirah and not done this whole thing with Bathsheba in the first place. Ela Amina, but I thought to myself, then people will say the servant won out over and beat his master in the argument. You were saying before that I'm not going to pass the test, and in fact, if I pass it, Then it's going to look like I won the argument against you. So therefore, I didn't put in the effort. So therefore, he's saying I didn't put in the effort to control my Yetzirah. So Marsha expands on this. He explains what David is saying. This l'chol avad chochatasi, to you alone I sin, meaning it wasn't actual erva, because again she was already divorced. So it's something along the lines of erva, but not actually erva. Nevertheless, I didn't pass the nisayon, but that was only levadcha. But levadcha, before you alone, you know that I would have been able to manage it. But then I figured titzak b'davrecha, tizka b'shavtecha, that people shouldn't say that you lost the argument. So in a way, it's almost like an aveira lishma. It's almost like what the Gemara calls elsewhere aveira lishma, like he's doing it for a higher purpose. Nevertheless, of course, he's still blamed for it, and he still suffered severe punishments for it and all. And in fact, one point, first of all, a person can't really start making such chashbonus, but also, there's an explanation, actually, the very fact that David is asking to be tested, Michta Melio explains, the very fact that he's asking to be tested means that he has a trace of gaiva in him. So what he's saying, in other words, now I realize that trace of gaiva had to be cleaned up, and therefore it's better that I don't pass the test in order to completely eradicate that trace of gaiva. Okay, the Gemara continues. Dorash Rava, my dichtiv, another pasuk in Tehillim, ki ani l'tzela nochon, I am ready for tzela. The simple meaning it means I'm constantly limping from my wounds and everything. Umach oivi negdi samid, and my pain is always before me. What does that mean? The word tzela means a person's wife, like you have with Adam, where tzela was cut out of him to make chava. So, Ru'uya Hoysa Bathsheva Basaliyam Madavid Mishesh Mebirachis. Bathsheva Basaliyam was really destined for David to begin with from Sheshis Mebirachis. So she is his zivug that Hashem had arranged. Ela Shaba Ela Bamacha, but she came to him in a painful way by doing the seeming Avera. Similarly, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, Ru'uya Hoysa L'David Bathsheva Basaliyam, she was in fact suitable for David. It wasn't that she was unsuitable for him. In fact, it was destined that she should marry him. Ela she'ochla paga, but it's like eating a fig before it's ripe. So the same way, in other words, like he took her too early. He should have waited. If he had waited, then eventually Uriah would have fully divorced her and never remarried her, or he would have died or whatever, and then David could have married her completely behetter. And like this, he grabbed it too early. There's a type of figs that are called bnois sheva, which is similar to that's the plural of Bas Sheva over here, which is why the Gemara is using the word paga, the metaphor of an unripe fig, to describe how he married Bas Sheva too early. The Gemara continues. Okay, so this part that I said before about people making fun of David for the Eishes Ish, it's in the Gemara and Bava Metzia, but yeah, it's here also. Dorashrava, my dichtiv, the pasuk says of it's Sali, because of my Sali, which again the simple meaning means my lameness, but here the Gemara is again doushening Moloshan Selaz and his wife. Samchov and Esafu, my enemies are happy and they gathered together. Nesfolai Nechim, Bali Mumin gathered together against me. Nechim literally means Rashi, like you have Parin Nechoy, who himself was lame. In modern Hebrew, Nechim means disabled. So the people who themselves have Mumim are gathering together against me. V'lo yodaiti, and I didn't know. Which means, Rashi says, two possibilities. It means that they're making fun of me, and I pretend like I don't know, like I don't know what they're talking about, or I didn't know when they're mocking me. In other words, it comes out all of a sudden. I didn't know that this is going to cause them, that this is going to give them the ability to mock me for the rest of my life. Anyway, he continues, Koru v'loy domu, they ripped, and they did not cease. They did not stop. But the Gemara is going to dash in domu in a different sense. So, Omer Dover, the Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vanish Lelem, Goli V'yadur L'Fanecha, you know full well, Shim Hoyo Kurin B'sari, that if they were to rip open my flesh, Lo Hoyo Domi Shoytis, my blood would not spill out, because they were humiliating him so much that he was having, they were malbim upon him, they were making the blood drain from his face, an embarrassment. So at that point, after they talk to him the way they do, if they were to rip open his face, you wouldn't find no blood would flow out because all of it drained from his embarrassment. V'loy oyd, and David continues, not only that, when these people, like Achitofel, are busy learning about the Dan, other enemies of David, are learning about the Iron Mrs. Bastin, or in a different Gemara, the Girsa is in a different place, the Girsa is when they're learning the Goyim and all this, complicated areas in Halacha, they interrupt their learning, and they tell me, David, so tell us, David, when a man is Mizana with an Eshesish, how does he get punished? Because again, they want to hurl it, they want to throw it up against David, and they want to throw it up against David and make fun of him for it. So they want to humiliate him. By the way, an interesting point is they're calling him David, why not Melech David or something. Ben Yehoyada points out that actually this is the point that he made the rule that when he's in the Bais Medrash with the other Chachamim, he doesn't want them to address him as Hamelach. He's just going to be David, one of the Chachamim, like all the other ones. Anyway, so they say, and I tell them, but after he does get Chenek, but then he gets a place in Olam Haba. Tosfos elsewhere discusses, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that a person who has relations with an Eishes Ish does in fact end up in Gehenim and doesn't come out of there. And Tosfos explains that it means that he comes out, he does go there, but he spends 12 months over there and then he comes out. But David continues, but a person who humiliates somebody else publicly, then he doesn't have a place in Olam Haba entirely. So therefore, David is trying to tell them, stop it. You're making fun of me for something which it's true, even if it was blatant znus. Still, the maximum is I'd be spending 12 months in Gehenna, but what you're doing is far worse. But David, so now David, in this kapitel, is complaining, in this pasuk, is complaining to Hashem about what they're doing to him. They're ripping him up, and no blood would flow because the way they're humiliating him, and Nes Folai Nathim, the Bali Mumin, the handicapped, the ones who themselves have serious Averis, are gathering against me to mock me, V'lo Yadaiti, and I don't know, I'm pretending like I don't know, or I didn't know in the first place that this is going to happen. So the Gemara continues, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Afilu B'Shas Choyah Shel David, even during the time when David was sick. Now, after this whole story of Bathsheba, he suffered several punishments, and one of them was that he was sick for a while. So even during that time, even when he was unwell, Kiyam Shmoina Esrei Onis, still David was careful to keep the 18 Onis. At that point, he had 18 wives, and each one of them there's a mitzvah of Oina with, so he was making sure to provide each one her Oina, her time with him. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Kapitel Vav of Tillim, is David asking Hashem to heal him from his sickness, and he says, Yogaiti van chosi, I've worn myself out with my sighing, Ascha b'cholayla mitosi, I Ascha every night, my bed, which now the Gemara is going to explain, we will explain what Ascha means, my bed every night. V'dimasi, I was the Amsa, I melt my bed with tears. So even when he's sick and moaning and then groaning, nevertheless, Ascha, and Rashi explains that Ascha is Maloshin Sriu Mois, disgusting things, which means, in other words, that he still has relations, and the Zera is sticky and gross. So he still makes sure that he's being Mekayim Tashmish during that time. Different explanation is that Ascha is Maloshin Sicha, is the conversation that a husband and wife have in order to get in the mood and have relations. So in any case, the point is he's saying that even when you're Gaiti Ban Chosi, nevertheless Ascha B'cholai L'mitosi, every night I make sure that my bed, that I'm doing Tashmish with my wives. And Gemara continues, the Omer of Yehuda Omer Rav, the my love, that is, that he's showing that he's not going to leave them unsatisfied just because he himself is sick and he himself is having a hard time of it. He's not going to be frum on yenem scheshvin, basically. The Gemara continues, the Omer of Yehuda Omer Rav, Bikish David Lavad Avodah Zarah. David was going to worship Avodah Zarah. Now, what do we mean by that? There's a bunch of explanations among Mephoshim. First of all, the idea is, the Gemara is going to go on to explain the story that when David is running away from Avshalom, he wants to somehow worship Avodah Zarah, according to any of the possibilities that we're going to talk about, in order to avoid the Chilul Hashem. People are going to say, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, that a tzaddik like David, how could it be that he's being usurped by his own son and his life is in danger? And they're going to question Hashem's justice, so therefore David wants to do something to make it that people will say, oh, well, we can see there's good reason why David was punished. Now, what do we mean by bikish lavad avodah zarah? So Marsha says that it means that he was planning to leave Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara tells us in Ksubas, the person who lives outside Eretz Yisrael, during the Kamisha Ein Lo Elokah, he's acting in a way as though he doesn't have Hashem because he doesn't have the closeness to Hashem that he had before, and therefore so he plans to do that. Ben Yehoyada gives a different explanation that it means that he was planning to allow Avshalom take over as the new king, and that would be like the Gemara mentions elsewhere that when a person allows an unqualified person to be a dayan, then it's considered like planting an asherah. Avshalom is very much unqualified for the position of king, but if he allows him to become king, then that would be tantamount to, so to speak, worshipping Avodah Zarah and putting up an Asherah. So therefore he's planning to do that. He's planning to just abdicate and let Avshalom have the kingship. So there's that. Ben Yoyada says something else. He was planning to go into a temple of Avodah Zarah and pretend as though he's worshipping Avodah Zarah, and meanwhile people will think that he actually did, and in reality he's not going to worship Avodah Zarah there at all. There is an explanation that it means that here it's Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz and Yaris Dvash who explains that David was planning to abdicate and let Avshalom be king, and that would be like planting an Asherah, which in turn is like a form of Avodah Zarah. And the Aruch HaNer gives a long discussion over here about what it means. Basically, he says that it means that he was going to pretend, he was going to bow near an Avodah Zarah, but have in mind that he's not bowing to the Avodah Zarah, but rather to Hashem, and therefore that would be that it's not really considered Avodah Zarah, but he decided, in any case, according to any of these explanations, he's planning to do something in order to make people think that now he's a Rasha and deserves his punishment. So Shanema, as the pasuk says, he David bo ad harosh. David came to the head, asher yishtach v'sham le'dekim, where he would bow to Hashem. So in the simple meaning of the pasuk, it means that David came to the peak of Harazesim, from which usually he would see the site of the where the Oren is, and he would bow to Hashem when he's returning from a trip. He would pass by that place and he would bow to Hashem, and now he's coming to that place. Now, what does rosh mean in this connection? The in rosh el avodah zarah. The word Rosh in this context means Avodah Zarah, Shenema, as we find by Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Hutz Vahut Salma, Reshe Didahav Tov, the head of the statue was made of good gold, of pure gold. So we see that Rosh is a term for Avodah Zarah. For example, also when it says about the Jewish people in the Midbar, Nitna Rosh and Ashuvah Mitzrayim, let's set ourselves up on Rosh and return to Mitzrayim, there's an explanation that it also means that they were planning to make themselves an Avodah Zarah and go head back to Mitzrayim. Anyway. So, the pasuk continues, Behinya the Krosei Chushai Ha'arki, but then he met up with Chushai Ha'arki, a friend of David, Korua Kutantai, Chushai's clothing was ripped, the Adama al Rosha, and there was earth on his head in mourning for what's going on with David. So now the Gemara picks up the story. Omaloi, the David, Hushai says to David, what do you mean you're going to pretend to worship Avodah Zarah or leave Eretz Yisrael or abdicate or any of these other explanations? Yomru melech shekmoscha yavad Avodah Zarah. People are going to say, a king like you is worshiping Avodah Zarah, it's going to make a chilul Hashem. Amaloi, David answers, same thing. You have the problem the other way around. Melech shekmoscha yavgenu b'noi, and people are going to say, a tzaddik like David, a king, a tzaddik like David, his own son should kill him. Then people are going to complain and think that Hashem is not being just. Mutav yavad Avodah Zarah, v'yitzchal Hashem shemayim v'fahesya. So better, let me worship Avodah Zarah, or do whatever these things are that are tantamount to Avodah Zarah, rather than v'yitzchal Hashem shemayim v'fahesya, rather than making a chilul Hashem in public. So, in fact, the Oruch HaNeir gives a long explanation over here that basically David is saying, one way or the other, there's going to be a Chilul Hashem. If he worships Avodah Zarah publicly, it's going to be a Chilul Hashem, and if he doesn't, then it's also, and still as a chosid, still as a tzaddik, then Avshalom kills him, it's also going to be a Chilul Hashem, and people are going to complain about Hashem. So given that there's a Chilul Hashem either way, better it should be something where he personally will cause a Chilul Hashem, rather than everybody should be questioning Hashem's judgment, which would make a Chilul Hashem by everybody. So that was David. That was David's cheshbon. Omar loy, Omar, but Hushai answers him. No, you're making a mistake. It's not. People are not going to think that Hashem is punishing you for nothing. In fact, there's a very good reason why. And therefore, there won't be a chilul Hashem if you do end up getting deposed or even killed by Avshalom. It won't cause a chilul Hashem because my time of konasivas yifas toyar. Why years ago did you marry a yifas toyar who is in fact Avshalom and you had Avshalom with her? Omalei says, David says, what's the problem? Yifas Torah Rahman Asharia. The Torah says, Yifas Torah is Mutter. Omalei, but Hushai says, Loid Darshan Smuchin. Don't you darshan from the fact that there were things in the Torah, one next to the other, one right after the other, and we derive then one thing from the other. Dismichle, because right after, or shortly after, the part about the Yifas Torah, you have Kiyila Ish Ben Sarah Ramurah. You have the section about the Ben Sora murder, which teaches you, Kol Anosi, Yifas Torah, anybody who marries the Yifas Torah, Yeshla Ben Sora murder, he's going to end up having a Ben Sora murder with her, because to begin with, Lojibra Torah, Lokinir, the Yitzhahara, the whole thing is only to control the Yitzhahara, but you're not required to do it, and you better shouldn't have done it. Rashi points out that, yeah, we find Avshalom's mother was Macha, Bas Talmai, Malach Geshur, her father was Talmai, the Goyish king of Geshur, so how does David come to marry her? Is because he captured her in battle, and she became a Yifas Torah. Rashi points out that it's impossible to say that David married her as an actual Avera, because we find that the Pasuk says that David's only Avera was the matter of Uriah Achiti. So therefore, it has to be, he married her Beheter, she was Yifas Torah, but nevertheless, Hushai is telling him, the fact is, the Pasuk puts those two things to one next to the other, teaches us that one leads to the other, so when people see that you have a son like Avshalom, and the way he's treating you, they're not going to think Hashem is being unjust, they're going to realize that actually there's a very good reason behind it, namely this matter of the Yifas Torah. The Oruch HaNeir actually goes into a very interesting discussion of, so why didn't David realize that? Doesn't David know the concept of Smuchim? And the Kitzur, he explains at some length over here that basically the Parasha of Yifas Torah and the Parasha of Ben Sora Ramara are not actually right next to one another. In between, you have something else about the case about Dinim of Yerusha, Ki Yol Ish Shtei Noshim, and he has one loved wife and one hated wife. And the point is, the Gemara elsewhere talks about what it means, a hated wife. One possibility is it means that there's an Isser of some kind and marrying her, and nevertheless her son is still considered a bechor. And then and he goes on in some arichus over there that you have another place in the Torah where you have a machlokas, you have another place where you have two things that are almost samuch but not quite, and you have a machlokas whether we darsh and smuchim over there. So David took the view in both cases that we don't do that, that we only smuchim is only when they're one right after the other, not when there's something else in between. But Hushai is telling him, you know, you could have learned the psukim differently, and it would come out that you could have learned the psukim differently, and it would come out that you should darsh and smuchim in that other case as well, and therefore you would have darsh in this case as well, and you would have realized that you shouldn't marry a Yifas Torah. The Gemara continues. Dorash Reb Desori de Min Biri. Reb Desori from Biri gave the following drasha. Now, David is asking Hashem in many places in Tillim to forgive him for his averus, and one of them is in Kapitul Yud Tes. Shgiyas mi yoven min estoris nakeni gam mizenim chasayich avdecha. So the Ma David Doimer, what was David like in those psukim? L'soich ha-kusi. He was like a kusi merchant. where the Kosi merchants were very sharp when they're selling their merchandise. They put, or when they're buying merchandise, rather, they pretend like it's not very good. They're only asking for a little at a time, and this way they can get a cheaper price. So the same way David is asking things from Hashem piecemeal, like acting as each time as though I'm just requesting a minor thing. Omer David lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shelem Shdias Miyavin, who can know and be careful to avoid Averis B'Shoigig. So therefore, so please forgive me for my various b'shoigig. Omalei Hashem says shviki loch fine. I'm willing to be moichel you for the things that you did b'shoigig. Now the pasuk doesn't say that he forgave him, but the fact that David continues to ask for more indicates, says Maharsha, that Hashem had forgiven him for what he asked for first. Next, David continues, and he starteth nakeni, from hidden things clean me up, so also clean up avedas that I did in secret, even though they were amazing. And Hashem says shviki loch fine. I'm forgiving you for them. Obviously, with each of these things, David is doing tremendous tshuva, but now, having done that tshuva, he's asking Hashem to forgive him, each type of aveira, and Hashem says yes. Then he says, he continues, Gam mizedim chasoy chavdecha, also from deliberate sinners, keep away your servant, which means, in other words, please be moichel me, even for the aveira, the mezid that I did in public. Omalei, so Hashem says, Shviki loch, fine, I forgive you for those also. But then David continues, Al yim shuluvi oz esam. Then he continues, let them not rule over me, and then I will be perfect. Now that means yim shulu is also maloshin mashal. People, I don't want that people should be using, that the chachamim of future generations should be using me as a mashal, to use me as an analogy for such types of averus. Oz esam, and then I will be complete and perfect. So Hashem says, Shviki loch, fine, I'm moichel you for that. The Chachmei Adoris won't be discussing your chet. Now, Ben Yehoyada says, what do you mean? We have the whole sugya over here, which is talking about his chet, and we have another place, and we have all the Mephoshim on the Psukim and everything. So first, Ben Yehoyada says it means the Chachamim in the Yeshiva Shal Maila shouldn't be discussing David. So it means, in other words, yes, down here on earth, David actually wants that they should be talking about him, and it'll help be part of his kapara, so they'll learn from him to do tshuva, but in the Olam Elyon, he doesn't want that they should be learning it, because there it won't be Lateyalis. The other possibility is that Ben Yoyada says it means, like this, for example, when a soita is brought to, when a suspected soita is brought to the Beis Mikdash, the Beis Din tells her, you know, you have people, great figures in Jewish history, who did such aveiros, and they did tshuva, and they admitted, and they were forgiven, one of them being David. And we tell her about David in the simple sense. We tell her about Reuben, we tell her about David, to induce her to do tshuva. So David is asking, actually, that no, it shouldn't be that we talk about him, it shouldn't be that we talk about him in that way. So that's it. We use the examples of Reuven and of Yehuda, where the Psukim make it sound like they did serious averus of Znus, and yet they did Shuvah. So David doesn't want that they should be using him as an example like that as well. And so therefore Hashem says, fine, I accept that. You won't be used as an example for a Soita. Only Reuven and Yehuda will. Fine. Then David continues. I want to be clean of a major aveda. That means David is asking Hashem that what I did wrong should not even be written in the first place. Amalei Hashem says that efshar, that I can't do. Everything else I'm willing to grant you, but not that. It's going to have to be written down. Uma yud shenatalti misarai, madach the letter yud that I took from Sarai's name when she was renamed Sarah. Oymid v'tzeveach kamashonim, standing there and crying in front of Hashem for many years that I was taken out of the name of a tzedekus. Ab shebo Yeshua v'isafkiloi, and eventually Yeshua came and the yud was added to his name. Shenem v'yikra Moshe loyshe bin Nun Yeshua. Kola parasha kola, alachas kama v'kama. How much more so, an entire section and Sefer Shmuel, which talks about this topic, how much more so it would complain. So therefore, no, I can't erase it. It's going to remain. It's going to remain in Nevi'im, and people are going to see it. They're going to learn it. But yes, they won't. Everything else, the actual Aveda itself, is forgiven to you. Okay. The Gemara continues. So we see, in other words, that David was being like a seichel kursi. He doesn't begin by asking Hashem for the bigger things. He asks Hashem first, forgive me for the inadvertent avedas. Like, it's such a minor thing, you can easily grant that. So like a merchant who's saying, you know, sell me this little cheap thing or whatever, and then he works his way up to the more and more, to the bigger and bigger things. The Gemara continues, when David says, I should be clean from a great sin. Again, David is saying to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Mechili Al Oser Oven, Kulay, forgive me completely for that Aveira involving Bathsheba. Omar, but Hashem says, no, Kvar Osid Shloime bin Choloime b'chochmasei. Your son Shloime in the future is going to say in his Chochma, in Psukim in Mishlei, Could a person scoop up coals into his fire into his lap of God of Loisis Arafna and his clothes won't get burnt? Could a person walk on coals the ragul of Loisis Kavana and his feet don't get burned? Cain Habal El Eishes Rehu, the same way a man has relations with somebody else's wife. Lo Yinoka Kolanegeyaba, nobody who touches her is going to end up completely clean. So no, the fact is, okay, she wasn't technically an Eishes Ish, but nevertheless it had the appearance of one, and therefore, no, you can see from Shlomo's own words that it's not something that can be completely cleaned up. So you have in the Pesukim over there, actually, you have on the word Eish over there in Mishlei, you have an unusual trup called an Ilui. It looks like a Munach, but on top of the letter, on top of the word, instead of underneath it, like in the rest of Tanakh. So maybe it's hinting at that here you have, this is a great thing, this is a high-level thing. It wasn't the actual Aveira, it was much higher than that, like we learned before. And you yourself, David, are a much higher and greater person. Nevertheless, it has the appearance of an Eish HaSish, and therefore you don't get out of it completely scot free. So David says, Kol Hachin Nitra Dehu Gavra. Does that mean that I'm going to be completely rejected and there's no possible kapara for it? Omalei, so Hashem tells him, Kabul Alecha Yisurin, accept Yisurin on yourself, and that will clean it up completely. Kibul Olav, sure enough, David accepted Yisurin on himself. What kind of Yisurin? Omer of Yehuda, Omer Rav, Shisha Chadashim Nitzara David. David ended up having Tzaraas for 6 months. But Nitzalka him and a Shechina. The Shechina during that time left him. He didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. Or Pirshim and a Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin stayed away from him and they weren't learning and discussing Torah with him. How do we see all that? Nitzara, we see he got Tzaraas. Dichtiv, because he says in Kapitel Nunalach, Techate Eni Ve'ezev, purify me with Ezov, the Etar, and I will become pure. Techabseni, wash me, with Shelag Albin, and I'll become whiter than snow. And we find by a Metzora, part of the beginning of the process of making a Metzora Torah involves Ezov. Nistauka Emen Shechina, when it says the Shechina left him, Dichtiv, because he continues in that capital, Hashiva Lisa Soin Yeshecha, return to me the joy of your salvation, Ruach Nediva Sismecheni, and support me with a spirit of generosity, meaning that you return me the Sosain, you return me my happiness, and I'll be able to have Nevoah, because the Shechina rests on a person, only mitoich Simcha. So we see that he didn't have the Shechina on him at that time. Upirshu Mena Sanhedrin, and that the Chachamim stayed away from him. Dichtiv, you have a different pasuk until him. Yashuvu li yireecha v'gemer, may those who fear you return to me, implying that they were away, they had left him, and now he wants them to return. The Gemara says Shish Chadashim Benalon. How do we know that he suffered from all of this for 6 months? So that's this. Dichtiv, the pasuk says Vayom Mashem Malach David Av Yisrael Avoyim Shana. David ruled over the Jewish people for 40 years. Bechevron Malach Sheva Shanim. In Chevron he ruled for 7 years. Over Yerushalayim Malach Shloishim Veshalosh Shanim. In Yerushalayim he ruled for 33 years, 7 plus 33 is 40. But now, a different pasuk says, Achtiv, Bechevron, Malach al-Yehuda, Sheva Shonim, V'shisha Chadoshim V'gemer. But elsewhere it says that in Chevron, he was king for 7.5 years. So in one place, it mentions the 6 months, and in the other place, he doesn't. V'hani, Shish Chadoshim, like a Choshev, it's not counting the 6 months towards the total, Shmamin and Astara, therefore that means that during that 6 months, he has Tzaraas, and his kingship is suspended. Now, to be exact, I mean, the proof is not from the fact that it says 6 months in Chevron, because the story of Bathsheba happened long after he had left Chevron, when his capital was in Yerushalayim. But the point is that based on the figures, the total should have been 40 years and 6 months, and instead the total is given as 40 years plain. So that means he lost 6 months, namely the 6 months that he had Tzaraas. The Yerushalmi actually learns differently. The Yerushalmi learns the missing 6 months are the time when he was running away from Absalom, where then he's not considered a king during that time. So Vahani Shish Chadashim, like a Choshev, doesn't count these 6 months Shraman and Astari. Next, Omer Lefanav, David continues pleading with Hashem to forgive him. Omer Lefanav, Ribbono Shel Olam, Mechili Al Oser Oven. He says to Hashem, forgive me for that Aveira. So Hashem tells him eventually, fine, Mocho Loch, you're forgiven. So David says with the Loshan Apostle, Asei Imi Ois Latova, Make for me a sign for good. Let my enemies see and they'll be ashamed. Ki ata Hashem azartani minichamtoni, because you, Hashem, have saved me and comforted me. So show a simon for the entire world that you've forgiven me. Amaloy, Hashem tells him, b'chayecha eni medea. During your lifetime, I'm not going to make that known. That'll be part of your kapara. That'll be part of your kapara, that for the rest of your life you're going to suffer from people who are going to be making fun of you and thinking that Hashem is, that I'm still angry at you. But I will make it known in the times of your son Shlomo. What happened? B'shar shabona Shlomo as Beis Mikdash, when Shlomo built the Beis Mikdash, b'kish l'haches oron, the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, he wanted to bring the oron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, b'dovku sh'orim zeh b'zeh, but the gates were stuck together and they wouldn't open to allow the Kohenim in with the Oren. In a different place it says that, the Medrash actually says it differently, that the Oren was 10 amos wide. The original Oren from the Mishkan is 2.5 by 1.5 amos, but Shlomo had built, according to this Medrash, a much larger Oren, and it was 10 amos wide, and the door is 10 amos wide, so you can't fit 10 amos into 10 amos, so therefore they're stuck. Shlomo said 24 renonis, 24 praises to Hashem, and he still wasn't answered. What do we mean by 24 renonis? Rashi explains, you look at Shlomo's tefillah, which is brought in Sefer Melachim, and again in Divrei Hayomim, he mentions over there different synonyms for davening. Rina, and tefillah, and tchina, and altogether you have 24 such phrases. So he said that entire tefillah, v'loy nen, and he still wasn't answered. Different explanation of the 24 is the psukim that the Gemara is going to quote over here. Su sharam rashaychem are at the end, the kapitel chof dalet of tilim, say the same, 24 kapitel of tilim, and still the gates wouldn't open. Omar, he says, Su sharim rashaychem, gates, lift up your heads, the nasu pischei olam, and lift yourselves up, eternal doors, the yavim melech hakavod, and let the glorious king come in, and they answer back, mizeh melech hakavod, who is the glorious king, and he answers, Hashem izuz v'giver, Hashem was powerful and mighty, Hashem giver mochama, Hashem was mighty in battle, v'nemer, and then he continues again, so they still don't open, Su sharim rashaychem, usu pischei olam, lift up eternal doors, the yavim melech hakavod v'gemer, and let the king of glory come in, and still they're not opening. So v'loy nanan, still with all of that, he's not being answered, and the doors are not opening, and he can't bring in the aron. And people are thinking that maybe it means, maybe this is Nafta, maybe there's something wrong over here, it's obviously David or Shlomo are lacking in Schosim or whatever, Kivin Sha'oma, but then he said, at the end of his tefillah, as he says it in Divrei Hayomim, you have the pasuk, Hashem alekim al toshek pnei meshichecha, Hashem, don't turn back unanswered the presence of your anointed one, David, Zochra l'chasti, David Abdecha, remember the kindness, remember the chasidus of your servant David, miyad nana. Right away then he was answered, and the gates opened. At that moment, the faces of David's enemies, who were still around, turned black. They all of a sudden realized how wrong they were all those years making fun of David for this. And everybody knew now in public that Hashem had forgiven David for that sin. So David had asked for it to be shown during his lifetime, but instead it was shown during Shlomo's lifetime. So now let's deal with the last one mentioned in the Mishnah, the last figure that it says that lost his place in Adam Abba. Gehazi. What's the story with Gehazi? Which, by the way, the Gemara has not described over here really how we know. The Gemara didn't bring Psukim to show that Doeg and Achitofel lost their place in Adam Abba. And Achitofel really discussed very little altogether. Mephoshim explained, one thing is, since, as we said, Achitofel committed suicide, that shows us that a person who does that loses his chelek in Adam Abba. So Gehazi distiv vayelach Elisha Damasek. The pasuk says Elisha went to Damasek. The actual pasuk doesn't say vayelach; it actually says vayovay Elisha Damasek, which means that he came to Damasek. So lahecha ozel, where was he going? Meaning, Marshall explains the question is like this: we know the psukim tell us what happened when he came to Damasek. Chazoel, one of the ministers of the king of Aram, comes to greet him with a bunch of presents, and the king of Aram is sick at that time, and he asks Elisha for a nevuah, what's going to happen with the king, and so forth. forth. So we know that Elisha accomplished that while he was in Damascus. But the pasuk is Vayava, he came there. Instead, it doesn't mention that he went. Usually the expression in the pasuk would be Vayelech, that he went to such and such a place, and then he came there. But here it just says Vayava, as in like he came there, and when he came there, then these things happened, implying that he had originally gone there for some other purpose. So Lahecha Oza, what purpose did he go there for in the first place? And the answer is Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Shoholach Lahachzib Gehazi B'Tshuva. He went back to find his Talmud Gehazi, who he knew, and moved to Damascus, and to get him to do Tshuva. V'loi Chaza, but Gehazi did not do Tshuva. What happened to Gehazi in the first place, the Gemara is going to explain soon. Amaloi Chazur B'cha, so he tells him, do Tshuva. Amaloi, so Gehazi answers, no, Kach Mechublani Mimcha, I had the Kabbalah from you, when you were my Rebbe, Achoyti of Machti Yisrab Me'in Maspik Miyad Elas Tshuva. When a person not only sins, but causes many other people to sin, then Hashem does not give him an opportunity to do Tshuva. So therefore, Gehazi figured that I have no opportunity to do Tshuva. Now, he's wrong on that. In Maspik Miyad means that Hashem won't give him opportunities, but as Alter Rebbe phrases it in Tanya, dochak v'nichnas, if he pushes his way in and forces his way in to do tshuva, then Hashem will accept his tshuva. But here Gehazi was using it as an excuse. My Ovad, what did Gehazi do that brands him as a choyti or machti yisad abim? Ikadamri, one version is, Evan She'evetz Tolo L'chafes Yeravam. Like this you had in Gehazi's time, you had the Egle Azov that Yeravam had set up. We were already there for over 100 years or more. What he did was, he attached magnets to the sin of Yeravam, to the Egle Azov, the Hamidah, and Shemayim La'aretz, and caused it to be suspended between heaven and earth. So yeah, he put magnets on the eagle itself, and on the walls over there, and whatever, and now, with the magnets, the eagle is suspended in the air there, and now everybody thought it must be a divine thing. How could it be standing in the air over there, and therefore that caused more people to worship it? The Ikadamri, others say, Shem Chokak Bafia. Another version is that he carved the name of Hashem into the mouth of the eagle. And now, as with the power of that name of Hashem, it started announcing the first two of the Dibris, Anoichi and Lo Yilacha, so that misled a lot of people to thinking that this is a valid way of serving Hashem. The Ikadamri, a third version is Rabbanan Docha Mikameh. He prevented Tamar Chachamim from coming to learn Torah by Elisha. So the Yerushalmi explains that actually what Gehazi would do is when Elisha is teaching his Talmidim, Gehazi would sit by the entrance and not enter, and people would see him sitting over there, and they would say, you know, if Gehazi doesn't want to come in, why should we bother? Obviously, Elisha must not be a very great Rebbe if even his close Talmud Gehazi is not going in to listen to his fear. So that misled a lot of people into not going and learning by Elisha. So how do we know that? Shenema, because the pasuk says after Gehazi left, the pasuk says by Yomer Bnei Neviim El Elisha, the sons of the Neviim, the Talmidim of the Neviim, said to Elisha, Hine Nahamokam Asher Yonu Asher Anachnu Yoshim Shom Lefanachot Sami Menu. The place where we're sitting, our Beis Medrash, is too small for us, and therefore they propose to go and build a new Beis Medrash. Miklal, which means that Hashdal, I have a Paishi or Tsar. Up until now, there weren't so many, or it wasn't so narrow. Why? Because there weren't that many of them, because Gehazi was keeping people out. Now that he left, then we have many more Talmidim applying to the Beis Medrash, and therefore they're saying they need a new Beis Medrash. So the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan, La'olam te'smel do'chaviyin min mekarevis. Always the left hand should be pushing away and the right hand bringing close. Meaning even you need to push somebody away, it should always be with a Rebbe with his Talmud, a parent with a child or whatever, should always be. When you have to push him away, the pushing away should be with the left hand, the weaker hand. The Min Mekarevis, and the right hand should be the one that's drawing close. Meaning that you draw him close more powerfully. Loi ka Elisha shadach for the Gehazi b'shtei adayim. Not like Gehazi who pushed away, not like Elisha who pushed away Gehazi with both hands, v'loike yeshua ben prachya, and then you have the censored part in the Gemara over here, that v'loike yeshua ben prachya, shadokvay l'yeshua notzi v'shtei adayim, and not like yeshua ben prachya, who pushed away yeshua notzi with both hands. That piece of the Gemara is censored, and you can find them in the footnotes, and some Gemaras have it actually printed on the daf. What was the story with Gehazi? So Gehazi, where we see Elisha pushed him away with both hands. So like this, you have the whole story where Naaman came to Elisha to be cured of his saras. Dichtiv, and the pasuk says Vayomer. So then, so and he wants to give Elisha presents, and Elisha refuses them, and then when after Naaman leaves, then Gehazi decides to himself, you know what, it's too bad. I should get some of that wealth for myself, and he goes and runs after Naaman and tells him two new talmidim just came to the yeshiva, and we need things for them. So the pasuk says Vayomer Naaman hoyo kach kikaroyim. So Naaman says, here, go ahead and take two kicker of silver. You asked for only one kicker, here is two. The Medrash, by the way, mentions that by Yoyol also, that Hoyol also means a Shvua. Naaman was suspicious. Here, a few minutes ago, Elisha told me he doesn't want anything, and all of a sudden he's sending his Talmud. So he made Gehazi swear, and Gehazi swore falsely. That's one reason why he got Tzaras. The Medrash says that a false Shvua is one of the things that brings Tzaras. Anyway. So Vayifrotz is how it says in the passage. Vayifrotz boy. So Naaman pleaded with Gehazi to take the two kicker. Vayotze kikrai and kesef for them. And sure enough, he took two kicker and wrapped it up in cloth and brought it home. Now the passage continues. Vayomer elav. So then Gehazi comes to the Beis Medrash pretending like nothing happened. Vayomer elav Elisha me'ayim Gehazi. Elisha tells him, Gehazi, where are you coming from? Vayomer loy halach abdecha oner va'oner. He says, your servant, meaning I didn't go anywhere special. Vayomer elav, I didn't go any particular place. Vayomer elav, and then Elisha answers him back, lo libi halach. Don't you realize that my heart went with you, that I know what I saw what was going on? Kasher hofach Ishmael mekavtel lekrasecha, when the man, when Naaman turned from his chariot in your direction, when he saw you running after him and turned around to see what's going on, ha'eif lakachas hakesef, do you think this is the right time to be taking silver? V'lakachas begodim v'zeisim achromim v'tsonu vokav avodim ashvachas, and to be taking clothes and olive groves and vineyards and sheep and cattle and servants and maidservants? So you want to interject, wait a minute, Mishokel, call a high. That's not, Gehazi didn't take all those things. Kesef of Godem would have shokel. Sachakel, the pasuk says, he took some silver and he took some clothing. Means, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Ba'oysa Shah, Hoya Elisha Yoshev Adorish B'Shemona Shrotzim. At that point, Elisha was sitting and darshaning and teaching his Talmidim about the Shemona Shrotzim. It can mean about the Shemona Shrotzim themselves, or it can mean the Perek of Masechta Shabbos that begins Shemona Shrotzim. Anyway, Naaman's, now, what was the background? Naaman Satzvah Melech Aram Hava, Hoya. Naaman had been the general of Melech Aram, Mitzora, and he was Hoya Mitzora, and he was a Mitzora. Omer Le'ahi Revisa Dishtabai Me'arid Yisrael, and as we know from the Psalm, him, this girl who had been captured from Eretz Yisrael tells him, "Iazvas legabi Elisha masiloch. If you go to Elisha, he will cure you of your tzaras." Ki also, when he comes to Elisha, Omalei, then Elisha tells him, "Zilt vil b'yarden, go dip in the yarden, Omalei." And Naaman says, "Achuch komachaychas bi? Are you laughing at me? If it's a matter of bathing in rivers, I've bathed in rivers already." Amilei ahanu dahavu b'hadei. But the other people who were with him, his attendant, says to him, "My nafkaloch mino. What do you care? Zil nasi. It's worth a try." Also, the tov of a yarden. He went and dipped in the yarden. The ifsi, and he was healed. Also, aisilei kolhani didn't knock it. And now he brought him all the things. He offered him clothing and silver and so forth. Loit sovi the kabul aminei. And Elisha did not want to take any of it for one thing, because he figured that then people are going to think that he's just like a doctor who takes a fee. He wants to show that he's doing it l'shem shemayim. So what happened was, Gehazi iftar mikamei de Elisha. So now Gehazi took leave of Elisha, ozel shokel, mai de shokel, and he went and took what he took from Naaman, as it says in the Pesukim. So now when he comes back to the Beis Medrash, v'afkin, and he hid it away in his house. He also, when he came back to the Beis Medrash, chazi Elisha lo tzaras dava parche ilavei reishe. Then Elisha saw tzaras had broken out on Gehazi's head. Omalei, so now he tells him, Rosha. Now has come the time that you're going to receive the reward for the Shemona Shrotzim that I was just teaching the Talmidim. Namely, in other words, therefore he mentions eight things in the Pasuk. Oh, it's a question. Do you think now is the appropriate time to be getting the schar for the eight shrotzim? Here we were just learning about the shemona shrotzim, and you're taking gold and clothing, which now you could use to buy all those kinds of eight things, and therefore he listed out eight things. So, and then he tells him, as the pasuk says, the tzaras Naaman tidbak v'cho or zaracha ad oylam, the tzaras of Naaman will stick to you and your descendants forever. Vayetz alafanim mitzora kasholig, and Gehazi left as mitzora like snow from Elisha. So therefore we see that Elisha pushed him away with both hands. He did have to tell him off, but he didn't have to push him away completely, and that was a mistake that he should have been Yamin Mekarevis. He should have given him an opportunity to do tshuva. Okay. So yeah. Now, the example with Yeshua ben Prachia, so that you have on the side over here, so you have Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachia Maihi, Kedekatlinu Yanei Malkul Rabbanon, when Yanei HaMelech was killing the Chachamim in his times, when he became a Tzaduki, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin he killed many of the Chachamim, also Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachia of Yeshu Alexandria Shem Mitzrayim, so Yeshua ben Prachia and his Talmud Yeshu went to Alexandria in Egypt, the Shimon Shaddach at Marteach Achse, Shimon Shaddach, meanwhile, his sister, Queen Shlensian, hid him. Kihav Shlomo, when things calm down, Shalach le Shimon Shaddach, and Shimon Shaddach sent a message to Yeshua ben Prachi, his Rebbe, Mini Yerushalayim Irakodish Lichi Alexandria Shem Mitzrayim, a message from me, Yerushalayim Irakodish, to you, Alexandria in Egypt. Achosi, my sister, Alexandria had in those days, in a very important Jewish community, so it was like a sister to Yerushalayim, Baili Shori Besoichich, my husband is living among you, meaning the Nasi was like the husband of the Jewish people, Vani Yeshevis Shemema, and I'm sitting here alone and desolate. Omar, so Yeshua ben Prachia says, Shmami no ikah shloma ba'alma, must be that there's peace now that Shimon Shaddach is inviting me to return. Come, also, he comes and starts heading back. V'islami la'ahu shviza, he stays in a certain inn. Ovdala Yakoratova, they showed him great honor in this inn. Omar, he says, Kama yofa achsanya zu, how beautiful is this achsanya, meaning this inn. Omala Yeshu, but then the Talmud says to him, Rebbe, he misunderstands. Achsanya, to mean the woman innkeeper, he says, Einer trutos, her eyes are trutos, which can mean round or long and narrow, or whatever, something, there's something wrong with her eyes. Omala Rosha, Makachata Oisek, you Rosha, is that what you're involved with, looking at an Ashes Ish? After Tarba Meir Shippuri, he took out 400 shofars, the Shamte, and he put them in Cherem. Osla Kamei Kamazimnen, the Talmud starts coming to Yeshu ben Prachia many times to ask for Mechila. And we're like Kablon, he keeps on asking Yeshua ben Prachia, take me back, accept me back. Lo you have a kamash lachbe, and Yeshua ben Prachia is not paying any attention. Yom echad have a kakor of Krishma. One day, as Yeshua ben Prachia was saying Krishma, and by now he had decided, also lakamei, again Yeshu came to him, sovel kabuli. At this point, Yeshua thought to accept him back and help him do tshuva. Achvilu, lahu biyode. He made a motion with his hand, like to indicate, wait till I finish Krishma. Yeshu misunderstood the gesture and thought that it meant he's pushing him away. Also, so he went and set up a brick and started worshipping it at the public of Adizara. Later on, Yeshu ben Prachia finds him and tells him, do tshuva. Omalei, he says the same excuse that Gehazi used. And by now, it became a chote or machte esadam. For Omamara, as in fact, we learn, Yeshu anotsu kishif vehissis, the Diach HaSisrael, that he did Kishruf, and he was a Mesis and Madiach, so he was a Choyte or Machdeus Adabim, and therefore you argued he can't do Tshuva. But we see that if Yeshua ben Prachia had not pushed him away to begin with, B'shtei Yadayim, then he might have done Tshuva, and all of history would have been very different. And we'll continue learning tomorrow about Hashem, about the end of Gehazi, and we'll continue learning other topics related to this.
Yes, okay.